The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
The CDC is warning that a new variant of the Omicron strain of coronavirus has nearly doubled over the past week. So it looks like COVID is the only thing that's actually doing new year, new me.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, a little humor there. That's Late Night with Seth Meyers. Boy, a lot to talk about. I've heard a lot of buzz recently about this Buffalo defensive player going down, and people are blaming perhaps COVID. One guy said to me, I've never seen anybody get hit like that, never have a situation like that. And you think COVID had something to do with it? There's a lot of news articles going around. There's a lot of people discussing it. Sounds almost to me like it's kind of conspiracy. But we'll talk about it. We'll get Dr. DiBali's take on it coming up in a moment. But I do want to talk about COVID because we're now, what, 3 years out? 3 years from the start of COVID-19. Started in China. We're still dealing with this menace. Experts agreeing now that it was produced actually in a lab in Wuhan, didn't come from some meat market. We're no longer dealing with the original form of the virus, you know, that one that everybody was so terrified of and vaccines were made for over the last 3 years. It's mutated, I don't even know how many times. Originally medical authorities were keeping track of them from where they were first found. And those places, those place names were supposedly prejudiced. You can no longer say you have the Spanish flu, right? You can no longer say, hey, this is the Wuhan virus. So instead of the names, they started using the Greek alphabet, right? And they got all the way up to Omicron, the 15th letter, right? The 15th letter. But then Omicron variant started to develop its own mutations, and it began to spread across the globe. And authorities are now saying, we've got a new variant coming. And I just want to get you up to speed on it. It's the XBB.1.5, all right? XBB.1.5. It's four times more contagious than the Omicron variant. I just heard, Father Mark Barron on the air. He was feeling under the weather. You might see a lot of people getting sick with this. Four times more contagious than the other virus. But the contagion and the dangerousness, those are two different things. Unfortunately, this latest variant, honestly, it doesn't seem any worse than anything that's come before. That's what they're saying. In fact, I saw one report last night, and the medical doctor was saying they're not seeing any increase in hospitalization, which is a good thing. But what's interesting is that it appears that this variant is able to get around all the antibodies your body can throw at it. So it doesn't appear to matter if you've been vaccinated or double vaccinated or triple boosted. It doesn't matter. If you've had COVID before, it doesn't matter, right? XBB.1.5. can still get you. So how likely is it that you may have to come down with this? China, take a look what's happening in China right now, right? They had these massive lockdowns everywhere. Nobody was allowed out. All the protests began to take place. They reversed this policy, and you see the millions that are now infected. Who knows what we're going to see here? This whole thing, of course, started in China. Chinese authorities have claimed that up until this time, their country, they're a country of 1.2 billion, maybe a little bit more than 1.4 billion. They're up there. They're over a billion. That their lockdown policies have only allowed for 4.6 million cases out of billions, right? Out of 1.4 billion. Compare that to the U.S. We've got a third of the population. We have, 330, 40 million people in this country? We've had more than 100 million cases. So how many cases did China have if they had a billion, if they were being honest? There's a lot of reports coming that after China lifted those draconian measures, they're looking at maybe 250 million cases. I know I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you, but this is how contagious this is. So the numbers aren't adding up for China. I don't know how bad it's going to get here, whether or not you're going to deal with it personally, but I want to get you plugged into what you need to know to protect yourself, how to identify it, and what might be coming. And I'm delighted to have back Dr. Robert DiBali, who has guided us through the past several years of COVID, and he joins us once again today. Doctor, welcome back.
Hi, nice to be with you, Drew. I'm glad I'm not going to catch anything from Father Mark Barron.
Yeah, that's so true. He sounded terrible. I felt so bad for him. This is your area of expertise. You're an infectious disease doc. XBB.1.5, this variation, tell us about it. How's it able to get around our antibodies and those who are vaccinated, those who have natural immunity? I mean, why is this so evasive?
Well, the development of these variants really is driven by immunity, and there's a lot of evidence to show that it's probably driven by the use of the vaccine, favoring vaccine over attempted natural immunity. But be that as it is, this XBB 1.5 arose here in the United States. This is where it started. It started in New England, probably. It was first identified in New York and a couple places in New England. And it's causing 60-70% of the cases in the northeastern United States. And across the U.S., 40% of all cases. It's like everything else we've seen, is doubling about every 2 weeks. And so the Omicron version that was, you know, was King Omicron, that king is gone a long time. And a lot of the vaccines that were developed, the bivalent booster, you know, the so-called latest booster, that was directed at Omicron. So it's already missed its target. Patients ask me regularly, is it worthwhile for them to get boosted? I personally, unless somebody is significantly immunocompromised, cancer, organ transplant, other immune suppressive agents, I advise them it's not really helpful to get vaccinated. And there's some evidence to show that possibly getting vaccinated could actually lead to more problems than the vaccine benefits you.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a moment, because there's a lot of people who are listening right now that have vaccines, have been vaccinated. There was a Wall Street Journal article that I saw. It cited a number of studies showing that getting the vaccine and the boosters may actually be a cause for the disease. I don't know how true that is. They cited a Cleveland Clinic study of their own workers that found that those who received three more doses were more than three times as likely to get infected as the unvaccinated, while those who received two were only, I think, 2.6 times as likely. What's going on there with the vaccine itself and the boosters?
Well, if you remember what little baby ducks do, they all walk in a line in front of behind their mother and in front of their father. That's called imprinting, and so they role model after what they've seen or what they see in front of them. And so there's a concept of vaccine immunological imprinting that may be occurring with this, that you give the vaccine and you keep reminding the immune system about this one specific small little kind of road or path or avenue, and your immune system may not be able to recognize the full breadth of the walkway or the road, you know, and so that it may restrict the body's immune system in reacting to a natural infection.
Wow.
I mean, that's one hypothesis of what could be happening. There's also some studies out of Europe that appear to show that people who are received, you know, I was strongly in favor of people at risk getting, you know, the two-shot series initially because there was so much risk out there. But, you know, the boosters right now are not really helping.
Yeah.
They're not really helping anybody. And there's some studies that show that actually getting more boosters actually increases, you know, all-cause mortality. You know, it may have a significant impact on increasing death over time. So, you know, I don't feel bad about recommending, you know, vaccines to people initially, but right now my sense of urgency for getting boosted is way, way down for people. I don't understand how if these can be pushed for children, because the risks of the vaccine are greater than the benefits in most children. Again, if a child has cancer or an immunological problem, no question, they should get vaccinated. But the vaccines aren't what we thought that they were.
And I remember they were coming out, doctor. I mean, there was concern, of course, about the moral connection to the aborted fetal stem lines. But then there were others. Yeah, some of the early studies with Moderna came out and looked like the side effects were worse than Pfizer. A lot of people stayed away from J&J because of the way it was created altogether. But, you know, Pfizer was one of those that I think a lot of people chose. They felt it was kind of the lesser of those three evils. And the thing that always struck me about this, and again, those were for that original version. I often wondered why the media promoted this so strongly. And my colleague here, Patrick Madrid, is producer Cyrus. I was walking in the studio today and we were having a conversation about this. And he says, you got to listen to this piece of audio. And it's a montage of television shows and their sponsors. I want you to listen to this and then give me your take on whether or not this might have influenced the narrative that the nation was given. Listen.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360. Brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Making a difference. Brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Early Start.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This weather report brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports Update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press Data Download brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning sponsored by Pfizer.
And it goes on and on. Fingerprints of Pfizer all over the media. Your thoughts, Doc?
Well, they made a lot of money on the vaccine. There's no question about that. Yeah. And I don't know. You know, I think about if you see a flock of birds, usually like chimney swifts or whatever, flying, you know, almost like a school of fish in the air. It's called murmuration. And they just fly in unison, and you can't understand how they can all fly together. But, you know, they're of one mind. And what we're seeing with Twitter now, with the Twitter files that are being knocked out, and what happened to Dr. Jay Bhattacharya and everything, how he got censored so quickly. I mean, you have to wonder if there was an alternate rationale other than protecting society. But a long story short, where was I going to go with this? Oh, this new XBB 1.5, which is spreading across the United States, none of the monoclonal antibodies work against it. Wow. So everything we had before, including the one I've talked about here, Evusheld, are not helpful. But the antivirals that are available continue to be active, like the Paxlovid and the Molnupiravir and Remdesivir. Yeah. A lot of places are setting up three-day outpatient Remdesivir treatments for people that don't quite need hospitalization. But if someone's ill, you know, if you have heart problems, lung problems, serious health issues, and you do get COVID, then you really should try to get one of these type of medicines as soon as possible from your health provider, because they do actually help.
So do you expect, we're in January now, do you expect January and February to be pretty bad for Americans with this latest variant? Super contagious, four times as much, right? People who've already had COVID and have natural immunity, and those who've been, you know, vaxxed and boosted, is it likely that they may get sick again?
Well, they're looking at serologic immunity or neutralizing immunity, which is the antibodies will inactivate the virus in your blood, okay? So that's what they're looking at. We have another arm of our immune system, the T cell or natural killer cells, and that's it. That works differently, and that may be more important for someone's recognition of these variants and successful overcoming of these variants than the antibodies that we might make from a vaccine or that we might have as a memory from a previous infection. So the T cell immunity, which is best engendered by natural immunity, that's probably the more important arm of the immune system. And what I've seen in my clinical practice is that people are getting sick, but it's kind of like a bad cold. There are some people that are getting quite ill, but they usually have underlying severe medical problems. And the ICU numbers are up across the United States right now. The deaths are down, and a lot of the people that have been suffering severely from COVID are people with understood significant underlying medical problems.
Right.
It's not like it was a year ago. It's not like it was 2 years ago. Most everybody right now that's alive in the U.S. has, you know, either been vaccinated or had natural COVID infection.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's do this. Let's grab a few phone calls. If you want to get in, my guest, Dr. Robert Tobolli, we're taking a look right now at the latest variant, whether or not these new vaccines are worth it and are going to work, and what the symptoms of this are and what you need to know. We're talking about COVID's latest variant, XBB 1.5. Joanne is listening to us in Portland, Maine. Joanne, thanks for waiting. Good afternoon.
Happy New Year to you both.
Happy
I'm
New
so
Year.
Glad you're there, Dr. Bali. I'm confused. I'm a registered nurse. I've been reading all things COVID since the very beginning. I had an allergic anaphylactic reaction to J&J. I have no vaccine. Now, my question is, I've been asking for a T-cell level for the better part of 2 years, and I keep getting a pushback from my primary care. So I'm curious if you actually are ordering T-cell. I asked for B-cell and T-cell. No. Secondly, I was waiting for Norvax, and now it looks like that's probably not going to cover. And the home tests we've gotten from the government and you can purchase, those probably aren't going to touch this new variant in terms of picking it up. So is a PCR test that you get like at Walgreens, do you think that's sensitive enough?
Good question.
Well, there's a lot of questions there, and thanks for calling. The PCR test is highly sensitive. In fact, many of the emergency rooms around the country aren't doing the antigen tests at all now. So the PCR remains sensitive. The T-cell assays, I'm not sure that they're commercially available to check for this. We can look at the number of T-cells and CD4s and CD8s and so on, but that doesn't really help us understand whether or not you've had COVID, or it doesn't predict any level of response to COVID. So it's not like doing an antibody test, if you understand what I'm trying to say. But I'm not sure that test is commercially available. I know it's a research tool. And
It actually is a test that our local laboratory through Maine Health does, but I got a level way back finally, and it came back 175, but the doctor couldn't interpret that. So I'm looking to see what my general immunity is right now, because I'm pretty fatigued. I've been inbound for about 18 months now, going nowhere. No vaccine, not being very careful around double masking people that are coming to the house with groceries and things. So I'm between a rock and a hard place. But, they offered B-cell and T-cell. The B-cells came back negative. T-cell came back 175, but there was no reference range.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm an infection doctor, and I'm afraid I don't know what those numbers mean either, the T-cell assay. Yeah. So I would have to see specifically what the test was.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not sure that's commercially available specific for COVID.
So, Doctor, to her point too, a lot of us have the over-the-counter or the ones the government gave you, those tests. Those tests are not going to be very effective in detecting whether or not you have this latest variant, right?
They're less sensitive, yes.
Okay.
They would be expected to remain somewhat sensitive, more than 50%, but they're not like 90% sensitive.
Now, Joanne's concerned, and she has people double masking. How effective will masking be against XBB 1.5?
Very similar to what it was with the other variants. It may provide some help, but it's not perfect. It's not a panacea. So,
okay. Let's move along.
Okay.
No, go ahead. I don't mean to cut you off, Doc. We only have a few minutes with you, but I'll finish your thought.
Father Barron sounded like he had something called a community-acquired atypical pneumonia, because it commonly goes down your throat and affects your vocal cords and things like that.
Yeah.
And so, I think that he probably has something other than COVID, but not to diagnose him on the air. But I commonly will wear a mask now when I go to a home improvement store or something like that, or go to the supermarket, because I don't want to get all the community acquired bacterial pneumonias that are going around now, because everybody is not masking. But there's a significant increase in those, the incidence of those right now. Wow. As compared to a year ago, as compared to 2 years ago.
All right. Noemi, good afternoon. You're on the air in Chicago. Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. You know, more than I'm just trying to understand it. I am battling cancer, and thank God I haven't gotten any of these viruses. But I'm just wondering, like, where is the line drawn as to why people with underlying diseases are recommended to get this boosters, but others are not? Like, what makes the difference?
Okay.
Well, it's a good question. Depending on the type of cancer that someone might have, the cancer could actually significantly affect the immune system. So if someone has multiple myeloma, my experience is that they don't mount a very good response at all to infection. Your immune system is dramatically affected by multiple myeloma, decreased significantly, as it is with lymphoma, as it is with some other bloodborne cancers like leukemia. And if you are post-chemotherapy recovered from lymphoma, you can still have a defect in your immune system from the legacy of having had the lymphoma and coming through chemotherapy. If someone's on chemotherapy, the chemotherapy, you know, it's a poison, it's a toxin, it's directed against cancer cells, but it kills other cells in the body, and those cells that multiply most fast, which are most commonly immune cells, or, you know, a blood elements like white blood cells and platelets and red blood cells and things like that. So chemotherapy can affect your immune system. That the nature of the cancer you have, if you have a solid tumor, solid organ tumor like a lung cancer, affects the lungs and alters the anatomy there. But if you had like a cancer of the muscle somewhere or something like that, that doesn't really affect your immune system until you have chemotherapy. So this is why when I say if somebody has an immune system natural defect, or if they're on one of these immune suppressive agents for autoimmune disease like psoriatic arthritis or Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, those significantly decrease your immune system activity and function.
True.
And
doctor, I don't know what that was, but just go ahead.
So that's why people with those type of illnesses are at increased risk of getting COVID and progressing. For patients with multiple myeloma, I mean, my personal experience, just evidence of one examiner, they had the highest uniform death rate of people that I had cared for in the last 3 years was multiple myeloma patients. Yeah. Even you know, it's real tragic to be at their bedside and not be able to do much.
Hey, doctor, on another point, and I don't mean to keep rushing you through this, but there's so much to talk about and so little time with you. And if you want to join me, I'll try to get a few more calls in at 888-914-9149. But I want to talk about something that has been going around on the internet. I almost don't want to bring it up, but a lot of people have been talking about this. The Buffalo Bills, you know, have confirmed that Damar Hamlin suffered this massive cardiac arrest. He's in critical condition. As we all know, the country's been praying for him. 24-year-old guy, right? Peak condition as an athlete. All the NFL players who are playing fundamentally have been vaccinated. And there are some people wondering, you know, speculating on social media that perhaps the vaccines that he had taken somehow played a role. And it's a pretty big leap. I don't know how they can do that, but your thoughts on this. We know myocarditis has been very prevalent amongst young men who've been vaccinated, but what are your thoughts on the vaccine and maybe even the story?
So just so you know, there are doctors that get shoved off medical staffs and lose their licenses for looking cross-eyed at people these days. And, you know, for things, right, talking about things like this on a public forum, it's kind of thin ice to be out on. You know, I was watching that game in real time, and when I saw him go down, Knowing what I know about things, I was very concerned, and I immediately pulled out my Chapel of the Divine Mercy card and started praying for him. And be my hope that that man would wake up. He's probably been in a hypothermic protocol, what they do to try to preserve brain function and everything. I don't know, but I'm sure he's having a full cardiac workup now, including cardiac catheterization, echocardiograms to see if he's got any natural blockages in there that were unrecognized and so on. But I've been praying that he would wake up and tell us he met the Lord, and the Lord's telling us all to reform our lives and, you know, preach the gospel. But, you know, I don't know that I know enough to comment on that. It's very concerning when you look at all the athletes around the world that are dropping just like that. Soccer players and videos of moms exercising, you know. And I don't know. But I've seen people do very badly after they get natural COVID infection as well. The myocarditis is higher in patients with natural COVID infection. There's a doctor, I think you know Dr. Tierney from...
Sure, Dr. Sean Tierney, yep.
Yes.
Great cardiologist.
Yeah, he's an EPS doctor, so he's the guy that does the arrhythmia stuff. So he'd be great to have on to talk about that. But, you know, there seems to be evidence that that may be possible. But I am, as an infection doctor, I really couldn't comment logical, you know, with great expertise about that. But there seems to be evidence that people that, you know, myocarditis affects maybe 1 in 29 young men. It's more common in men than women after the vaccine. And of those, so 1 in 29, those people can have some permanent damage to their heart that can lead to other things in the future. Whether or not they realize those bad things that happen in the future, it's a matter of chance, so to speak.
Yep.
It's possible that could have played a role if he had a some scar tissue in his heart from myocarditis from a vaccine. But
Dr. Tabali, if you can hold for just a second, I take a short pause. When we come back, we'll take another call or two for you. Also coming up, I don't know if anyone saw the 60 Minute piece. They featured, you know, Paul Ehrlich, of all people, a man who's been predicting, you know, he's this doomsday biologist who's predicted human extinction for a long time. Thought I'd take a look at that as well, but stay with us. We got a lot to get into. We'll take a few more of your COVID calls as we explore the latest variant. Our conversation continues right after this. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, thanks for joining me. If you're just getting plugged in, Dr. Robert Tabali is at the table with me today. We're taking a look at COVID and the latest variant. You're going to hear a lot more about this. Four times as contagious. Supposedly the variant's able to get around antibodies that your body can throw at it. It doesn't appear to matter if you've been vaccinated or double or triple boosted. It doesn't matter. We'll see what happens. Doesn't seem that hospitalizations are up, but we want to get you plugged into what you need to know. So I went back to the man who's guided us through probably now about 3 years of COVID for the latest, and the story continues to be written. Doctor, let's jump right back into the phones. I know you only have a moment or two. We'll go to Pam, who's listening to us in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Pam.
Hi. All due respect. I'm a nurse. I have sensitivity to COVID. I have a personal experience with it. I won't go into, but these variants aren't the same as the original COVID. I'm just not understanding why we're putting so much emphasis on it when, you know, there's so many other things to talk about. I'm having trouble understanding. You know, we've debunked the mask thing. We've debunked the vaccines. Why are we still talking about even vaccines that, you know, weren't even tested and are still being used. So, like, why are we talking about COVID at all? We should be moving on. We should be talking about how healthcare, how COVID ruined healthcare, and how we should be moving forward.
Pam, thank you. Appreciate the call. And, Doctor, I'll let you respond to her. I do think it's relevant, Pam, with all due respect. When you have a new variant that is four times as contagious, can evade your natural immunities and vaccinations, there are people who will suffer from this and who will impact in a far greater way than somebody else. You know, you might get it and be able to rise above it. Somebody else, it might be life-threatening. I think people need to know what's out there, whether or not the latest vaccination is going to work or not. In fact, doctor, to that point, I'll let you respond to her. I did see an ad today. It was a local news broadcast. They had a physician on saying that this new vaccination for it is going to have great efficacy against the, you know, XXB 1.5, you know, variant that's out there right now. So your thoughts both to Pam and to, you know, whether or not there is anything that will be effective against this.
Well, I appreciate Pam's concern and everything. And, you know, my history with COVID, I got sick in March of 2020, thought I was going to die from it. And I credit intercession of Father Sam Mazzucchelli and St. Rocco for me not dying. I thought I was going to. I have risk factors for it. But long story short, a lot of people are nervous about this when they hear this come up on the news. And so I appreciate the opportunity to bring what I hope is kind of a balanced approach from a guy who actually sees patients for my career. You know, there's a lot of docs that you might see on national news and everything like that that haven't seen a patient in 15 years, but they do research. But I appreciate the opportunity to try to allay a lot of people's fears about stuff, and that's what I'm trying to do here today. And a lot of people have questions, and I get a lot of questions sent to me at my website after these appearances on Drew's show. People have specific questions about their specific situation. I do my best to answer them. But, you know, this variant is, you know, it's not like it was 2 years ago. But for some people, it could be as bad as it was 2 years ago. And those people are usually going to be the people with the immune system issues. Yep. And that's why I keep banging on the drum. And I keep telling people, take vitamin D3, 4,000 units a day. I mean, that's what I do. And I like to recommend for people that can take aspirin to please take aspirin. And it may help prevent some of the problems that occur with either the vaccination or with natural infection.
That's great. Well, doctor, I'm grateful for you being here. You mentioned Samuel Mazzucchelli. He's one of my favorite servants of God. He's servant of God right now. Is he venerable? No, he's venerable, right? He's the venerable Father Mazzucchelli.
He's got venerable, yes.
Yeah, and I know you have a devotion to him as well. Is there an event coming up?
Yes, the anniversary of his passing into eternity is February 23rd, and he died in a small town called Benton, Wisconsin, which is up near Dubuque, Galena area, just north of the border with Illinois. And we gather there. We've gathered there for the last 3 years to have a mass and then to say a rosary at his gravesite, which is just behind the St. Patrick's Church in Benton, Wisconsin.
Wow.
And so I would invite anyone who might be interested to brave the cold and dress warmly to join us this year. We go to Mass, we say the rosary, and then we have lunch at a local restaurant, which is very nice. And if anybody wanted to ask me about this, we could get you some information. You just send an email to FR for Father, FR Sam, S-A-M, Maz, M-A-Z-Z. So it's FRSAMMAZZ, Father Sam Maz, @gmail.com.
Well, all right, sounds great. If I was not broadcasting that day, I'd probably join you. Maybe I'll take a personal day, Doc. Maybe I'll do the show from there. That would be great.
Yeah, you could.
I mean, we'll take a look at it. I think that's a Thursday coming up, but check out Father Sam Maz at gmail.com. And we could talk about it more again at some point. Hey, Dr. Tabali, thank you for your time. Appreciate you being here.
Take care. God bless everyone.
All right, that's Dr. Bob Tabali. I want to change gears. I only have a few moments left. Time in the program goes so quickly. I was watching 60 Minutes, and I saw Paul Ehrlich, of all people, on 60 Minutes. I think, why are you resurrecting somebody who has been so errant in his predictions? He's received plenty of criticism over the decades. Let me share just part of you as we begin this. Part of an interview that 60 Minutes did highlighting him. And listen to what they're saying. Check this out.
Too many people, too much consumption, and growth mania.
At the age of 90, biologist Paul Ehrlich may have lived long enough to see some of his dire prophecies come true.
You seem to be saying that humanity is not sustainable.
No, humanity is not sustainable to maintain our lifestyle, yours and mine, basically, for the entire planet. You'd need five more Earths, not clear where they're going to come from.
Just in terms of the resources that would be required.
Resources that would be required, the systems that support our lives, which of course are the biodiversity that we're wiping out. Humanity is very busily sitting on a limb that we're sawing off.
In 1968, Ehrlich, a biology professor at Stanford, became a doomsday celebrity with a bestseller forecasting the collapse of nature.
When the population bomb came out, you were described as an alarmist.
I was alarmed. I am still alarmed. All of my colleagues are alarmed.
The alarm Ehrlich sounded in 68 warned that overpopulation would trigger widespread famine. He was wrong about that. The Green Revolution fed the world. But he also wrote in 68 that heat from greenhouse gases would melt polar ice, and humanity would overwhelm the wild. Today, humans have taken over 70% of the planet's land and 70% of the fresh water.
The rate of extinction is extraordinarily high now and getting higher all the time.
All right, so here we have it. Humanity going to basically kill itself off. These predictions, as you heard in that piece, have been going on for decades now. Dr. Ehrlich was a biologist at Stanford, and he wrote a book called The Population Bomb, which he claimed that soon there would be too many people on the planet, right? In the 1970s, I think hundreds of millions of people, he said, were going to starve to death, you know, in spite of any crash programs that the government was going to try to initiate. Obviously, that did not happen, right? I guess he didn't take into consideration that, you know, God's in control of everything, one. And two, modern farming, you know, technology changed, a whole lot of different things. We could feed the world many times over. But ever since then, he has been making essentially the same prediction over and over and over again. And it has not come to pass. I can't tell you how many times he's done it, how many times he's failed. We're still functioning, right? People are still living. We still are able to feed ourselves. And you would think with that track record, they'd let him go for Stanford, right? And nobody would pay attention to him. But as I said, 60 Minutes devoted a whole segment to him. And you might have seen it. And your kids might have seen it, your loved ones. They're like, oh, yeah, we're in trouble. The world's overpopulated. What are we going to do? I don't want you to buy it. Okay, it's a bunch of bunk. So why 60 Minutes did a whole segment on it. Of course, now he's saying that it's climate change that's going to bring an end to humanity, and that climate change, you know, the climate's changing because what? We've got too many people, right? Too many people. Back in the 70s, he was saying that we're headed for a new ice age. That was the big claim back in the 70s. I've invited Dr. Nicholas Eberstadt to stop by, political economist and demographer at the Henry Wendt School in Political Economy for the American Enterprise Institute, and he's an expert on demographics is the word I'm trying to get out of my mouth. He writes extensively on this and other topics as well, and he's been with me in the past to deal with population. It's good to have you back, Doctor. Thank you for your time today.
Hey, Happy New Year, Drew.
Hey, Happy New Year. This guy who was reporting on this mentioned that Paul Ehrlich was wrong many times over, yet he got the kid glove treatment. How do you read this? What gives? Why does he still have credibility? And what's the ideology, the agenda behind this? Why do they want Americans to believe this lie?
Well, Professor Ehrlich has a PhD in population, but it's in the population of insects. And if human beings were insects, all of the predictions that he's making would probably come to pass, but we're not insects. We have the ability to create. We have the ability to think. We have the ability to turn economically useless materials into valuable resources that no insects can increase or double their life expectancy on a permanent basis. We did that as a species in the 20th century. Insects can't prevent themselves from outbreeding their resources. We have done that very nicely over the last few generations. I think Professor Ehrlich's problem here is that he, although he is trained in science, he is fundamentally unscientific in his approach to these predictions. A scientist usually makes a prediction, sees if it can be falsified, and if it is falsified, tries to ask why it was falsified. Instead, Professor Ehrlich and his kin, or his coterie, try to make their predictions about the future unfalsifiable. And of course, what they've done in this is they have created a sort of a secular faith. This, neo-Malthusianism, if you want to call it that, is now an unfalsifiable secular religion that people in the academy and in the media and in intelligentsia cling to. And facts don't get in the way.
My guest today is Dr. Nicholas Eberstadt. You can join us as well if you'd like to dial in. The number's 888-914-9149, taking a look at really, what is a population myth? One that 60 Minutes was promoting with a failed professor who has predicted the collapse of human civilization over and over again. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about this, but there's also another mantra that's out there too. And I'd like your take on this. There are other pieces I've seen and other articles that I've read that claims that climate change and habit degradation is going to cause the extinction of countless animals and plants, and it's going to drive this dramatic biodiversity loss. There's some new research that came out, I guess it was a couple of days ago, maybe over the holidays I saw it. But let's talk about that as well. I mean, if the population isn't going down, are we in fact destroying our habitat? And along with that, animals and plants. Stay with me. That will be explored straight ahead.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and at relevantradio.com. Prayer, not panic.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, if you missed anything that we talked about, you can always go to my podcast. You'll find it at Relevant Radio. Just do a search for my show name or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. And tell others about the broadcast. I always try to give you a look at life you're not going to find anywhere else. And if you're just joining me, doing that right now, trying to give you some truth about a great myth that has been, you know, promulgated now for decades. I was sharing just a few moments ago, if you're just joining me, that 60 Minutes devoted a whole segment, very well done, very highly produced, to Paul Ehrlich. He's a professor from Stanford who has been so inaccurate in his prediction about the collapse of human civilization. Made me wonder why they are doing it again. And I've invited a brilliant author and demographer and professor to join me. Dr. Nicholas Eberstadt is here with me today. And doctor, we'll take a few calls. Roy's online. We'll grab you, Roy, and everyone else. But when I left off, I saw another piece that there's kind of a connection to this overpopulation argument. And the argument is that, okay, you know, mankind is raising, we're witnessing climate change. And climate change is now resulting in habitat degradation. And as a result of that, there's going to be untold species that are going to go extinct. So will the diversity of so much of the biolife that we have, you know, plants and other aspects of that are going to be lost forever. How true is it? I know you're not necessarily maybe an expert in that area of the field, but it's kind of a thread to this argument that the world is overpopulated and that mankind is now destroying the the planet and leading to his own extinction and the extinction of other life?
Well, I mean, I think as a general concept, the idea that we should be mindful of other creatures on Earth is a reasonable one. The idea that we should husband resources is a reasonable one. I would mention that we don't know how many species exist on Earth, and to the extent that I've read the scientific literature here, the people who are in this field think that we've only identified a tiny fraction of all of the species that actually exist on Earth.
Wow.
So it's kind of difficult to talk about ups and downs there. Man-made warming of the planet is a completely reasonable, not nutty idea. We've been seeing a warming of the planet going on. I'm not myself convinced that we're going to be able to do anything politically to alter that trajectory for a while, but what we can do is adapt. And we can adapt. I mean, the nation of the Netherlands should be underwater if human beings hadn't adapted with the dikes and the dams there. And we can do adaptation everywhere else, almost everywhere else, if we grow prosperity around the world so that we have more options.
Right.
So I think that our focus should be at least as much on increasing wealth all around the world as on shutting down industries in the hope that this will affect climate trajectories.
Yeah. Before I go to the phones, and I appreciate Roy and everyone else's patience, the UN, right now we are, I think, at 8 billion people on the planet, maybe 8.1 mm-hmm. billion, somewhere in that range. According to the UN, they're predicting that there will eventually be a drop-off in population. How does it play out? Do we get to such a point that there is a tipping point, that the population continues to expand, it's 8 billion, then it's 10, then it's 16, and there's a point where the planet can't maintain population? Or is there a natural course of events, disease, other things that bring population down to a sustainable level? Or is that a myth in itself because we saw what happened with technology? You talked about the dikes. We talked about farming. How do you read all that, and how do we as Catholics process these arguments?
Well, we are the animal that has the ability to choose between right and wrong. And we are the animal that can create through new ideas in ways that no other species can. We've altered our environment in a way that has made standards of living almost incalculably better on the whole, despite the existence still of material poverty in some places. But this is our stewardship, and this great opportunity is in our hands.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Roy in Madison, always good to hear from you. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, Drew, thanks for taking my call. I couldn't grab the phone fast enough when I heard your topic here. And, Doctor, I wanted to ask you this before, Drew, a sort of religious question, but tied into scientific as well, I think. I wondered if the doctor's ever heard, because I'm a big ancient aliens nut, Doctor. I know people think that's just like practically cartoon on TV, the ancient aliens. You know what I'm talking about, you guys?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I've seen them. I've watched
them. Okay. What about that we are Martians? In the Bible, Adam and Eve, I believe in the inspired word of God, the Adam and Eve, but it doesn't say that we're earthlings, we're humans. He created this in 7 days, did this, and he created all the stars and all the planets, everything. Do you think, because now Mars used to be like lush with water, and then it's dried out, and you've heard the theory that, boom, here we come. And maybe Adam and Eve, I just wanted to get his opinion and think if I'm just crazy on that.
Roy, thank you. So, Roy's case, one of the cases that program makes is that, life was seeded here on the planet. It did not begin from some other intelligent, entity that was out there. So your thoughts, if Mars, I don't think so, but, your thought on
it. Put it this way. That the great writer and Christian apologist, theologian C.S. Lewis, in his writings, he said that in the Narnia Chronicles, you only get to know your own story. That was Aslan talking to the human children. Mm-hmm. You only get to know your own story. And I think that's kind of where we're at.
So, to explain that to Roy, so he understands. Where do you think? What do you think, Doctor?
Well, there are there are actually people who are not being, you know, put in straitjackets and institutionalized, who are talking, you know, who are at the forefront of science, who are talking about multiverses, about right. multiple universes. I'm not good enough to understand that, but you know, a creator is.
Yeah. Hey, Roy, thank you. I appreciate the call. It's a conversation, Roy, maybe I'll explore in the days ahead, get someone on, and we can talk about multi-universe. We can talk about the possibility of intelligent life existing in other places. There are certain laws of physics, those laws that we know today, that really prohibit our ability to travel faster than the speed of light, and to travel across our universe, our galaxy, takes a long time. Doctor, I only have a minute left. If people want to check you out or your book, I know you came out with a new revision of a book. How do they read your writing?
If you Google the name Nicholas Eberstadt, you will see a book, Men Without Work, Post-Pandemic Edition, which is the latest book that I've put out on the crisis of work in modern America.
All right. Sounds great. Doctor, thank you. Always good to have you with me. We'll catch up again soon, I hope, okay?
Thank you much. God bless.
God bless you. Happy New Year to you. Hey, I'm out of time for the day. I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. If you missed anything, as I said, go back to our podcast. Check it out. If you're new to the broadcast, I want to welcome Tucson, Arizona to the family as well there on 104.9. Tell others about the broadcast. I'm on every afternoon, 2 to 5 Central, 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific. We'll talk again tomorrow. Until then, I'll be praying for you. God bless.